Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Queer Cast, show number 150. We are halfway to 200. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter. We're more than halfway to 200.
Yeah.
I mean, we're well, more than 75% of the way to 200.
Well, that's right. I guess in our next 100. Halfway there. Halfway, whatever. You know what I mean.
Look at you trying to count. You're
so
Mercury's gorgeous.
Oh, Mercury's in retrograde, and I can't. My computer don't work in my head.
I know. Skype was giving us some issues earlier today. I have to tell you, I have been in more meetings in the last 2 weeks than seriously. Like, I look at my, I walk in, and I, you know, we do a lot of our, almost all of our meetings in Outlook and everything. So I walk into Outlook, and there's like a little tiny bar where I can pee and have a sandwich, and then there's like time to go home time. So
yeah,
it's been crazy. It's
I've been really busy too, but not in a frantic can't stop and breathe kind of way. I've been really
started rehearsing for a show too.
I know, so you're doing double duty. I am not at all. It's just I'm settling into fall a little bit, but what a weekend. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was
freaking gorgeous.
Full. It was so full. It started on a Friday evening. I made my way to go see Helena Handbag production of The Birds.
How was it?
It is amazing, and it is amazing for so many reasons. I could spend the entire show talking about them, but I'll tell you this. Burger Park is at Granville and Sheridan.
I know exactly. That used to be my offices for Greasy Joan.
Oh,
we rehearsed every one of our plays in their ballroom, and there was a closet, and we had our whole office
and
up there.
You came leaping out of it.
I came leaping out of it, but I love Burger Park. It's gorgeous up there.
Gorgeous. Well, in the coach house, The Birds is completely set in the coach house.
Oh, nice.
And it says, if you were on the set watching them record scenes from the show, but then everything gets all blurred, and then there's big musical numbers, but there's actors getting like attacked by birds outside and smashing themselves up against the windows, and it's just so freaking brilliant. Scott Bradley, an amazing directorial feat. The cast is incredible, and of course David Cernan and Pauline Pang wrote just one of the best freaking scripts ever was. Tibby Hedren and Veronica Cartwright were just there.
Oh, the other Veronica week Cartwright, I love her.
Anal intercourse. That's all I can ever think about. Remember for the scene when she's like throwing up from the church in The Witches of Eastwick?
Oh yeah.
That's how she. There
See,
was
I left her from the X Files too.
The Children's Hour actually is one of my favorite because that was her as a little hauntingly little bratty baby girl.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah, and then she played a little girl, of course, well, young girl in The Birds.
Yeah.
Right? And Ed Jones, who's like a 6'4" man, plays just a wonderful Veronica Cartwright as a young girl. Welcome to Handbag Productions.
Oh, fantastic.
But there was that, and then I felt like I was so
gorgeous on
full.
Saturday. It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. I had my classes, my first class, where we had to pick, because we graduate next week. So
From guitar one.
So we're moving into guitar one rep, and we get to play an Eagles song, No Jimmy Buffett. Thank God.
Yay. Which Eagles song are you playing?
Peaceful Easy Feeling.
There you are. Because you got it. Because you got the peaceful easy feeling.
Peaceful easy feeling. And then I sang for the other half of Saturday because it was our first vocal rehearsal. So
for Rudolph.
Yeah. And some of the new members, one of them actually dropped out. I think he got freaked the fuck out by what we were singing about. Because people don't get the show when they first see it, but it kind of sinks in after you think about it. So
yeah.
What did you do? You went to the beach, didn't you?
You know, I did not go to the beach. My weekend began. I did do some shopping. Did you say shopping, shocking or shocking? Well, I'm feeling guilty because I did some shopping.
Are you feeling guilty?
I don't know.
What do you work for? You work to buy
money.
Shit.
I know. Not really.
Maybe not shit. But
I just work to hoard. I plan for the 100,000 years I'm going to live and be alone and need to have money.
This is podcast 3,298. Not making the thing.
That's right. I am. I'm a hoarder. It's kind of sad, but tonight is a clean out my closet night. It's where my girlfriend and I go. We've only done this once in a relationship, and I mean, it's a tense thing. You have to do it. It's
really
very vulnerable, where you go, what do I look like in this? And then they say, that's not great on you. Or do you love it? And then you say, yes, I love it. Because my girlfriend has this theory that if you don't love a thing, then you shouldn't wear it. Like, you have to love something about it. You have to love yourself in it and love it. Otherwise, it does not belong in your
Can
wardrobe.
Can you love it with another piece? Like, I love jeans with that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you have to love it and think you look good in it and feel confident in it. If you don't, then you only need one pair of pants to paint in and one ratty old shirt to sit, you know? So I have a lot of throwing away
and
to do
purge.
Because I don't purge clothing very well. Well, I guess I do, but I just buy. So
really?
I don't
like to buy
shop.
A lot of stuff and then
not
wear it?
I don't like to shop. And then when I shop, I bulk shop. I go in and I buy like 10 tops.
How do you not
in
like
one,
to shop?
I don't know. Anyhow, so this is my weekend.
Okay.
Friday night, Angelique Monroe and I are totally texting each other, or not texting, because I don't do that. She texts me, I call her.
bitch, don't text me. That's expensive.
I do not know how to text. The young kids today.
We got you on the podcast.
I know.
Then we'll talk about Twitter.
Phone.
We'll talk about Twitter at some point.
You don't talk about my Twitter. We have not even yet come to my Twitter. but we were both heading to Annie Lennox, and ever so excited because my partner and I went. Angelique Monroe was so excited because she was seeing Annie Lennox, who she does the illusion of Annie Lennox. So I was thrilled for Angelique to be there, and we bumped into lots of other friends, and it was just
Chicago,
an amazing concert. She is just, you know, as Kelly said, you've really never experienced Annie Lennox till you've seen her live, because she said it's just so different when you watch her live, and it really is. And just a beautiful concert. She sounds fantastic. She looks, when they turn the lights, she just glows as soon as the lights come up on her. She's
Were her
just
backups
fantastic.
Big giant black women?
Two black women. everybody was dressed in black, but it's just really simple, you know. As Angelique said, there were just no gimmicks. You know, it was just her and her emotion. She just really is so present when she sings. It's really an amazing thing. So it was fantastic. It was a gorgeous night. Saturday, I just enjoyed the beauty, did some shopping and all of that. But Sunday, I planted over 40 bulbs in my backyard. You know, it was 80 some odd degrees here in Chicago. So I got in my backyard before we had the Monday rain and planted tons of tulips in my backyard and
nice.
Daffodils. And I have more that I need to plant. So I'm going to have to put on warmer clothes this weekend and plant. But I've never planted bulbs.
Oh, it's so
I've only
fun.
Had my house for this is my second year in the house. This is really the first fall that I've had brain space to think about it. So
when we were
I'm very excited, I'll be bringing you tulips.
I would love to see some tulips
in the spring.
When I was little, actually my kindergarten year, the grammar school I went to was Sarah Language Academy. Sarah Park was just a few blocks away. So in the fall, when we started kindergarten, actually, they took us and they explained what a tulip bulb was, and it went over most of our heads. We didn't really understand it, but we went and we each dug our little hole and we put our little bulb down, and then we patted it and we counted how many squares of sidewalk it was from the corner. So that by the time we got into spring, we all came back and were able to look at the flower that grew.
Aww.
And we were all like 5 years old. Now I would love to watch them do, because I know it's a regular thing that they do. The principal who opened the school actually made them do that to teach the kids about life and bulbs and blah, blah, blah. But it was just I always had
tending something,
such
planting
that,
seeds.
That visceral reaction to seeing tulips. It just makes me, I just remember, and you know, in your mind's eye, the memory is always much more technicolor than it probably was, but they were really red and really yellow and they smelled really bad because tulips kind of stink.
Yeah. They don't have a good smell.
No, especially when you cut them, they have that weird green oozy stuff. So
I am planting in my front yard. This was on my backyard, my front yard. I'm planting those kind of grape cluster hyacinths. They're kind of small and they're really deep purpley blue and they smell really great. So
nice.
That's this weekend. Hey, speaking of little kids, you know, kids around the world must be a bit and parents either shocked or
I think
having a bit of a aha or oh or whatever. There was lots of squeals and gasps.
There was.
When, of course, a billionaire, J.K. Rowling, said that Dumbledore is gay.
He's a poof.
He's a poof. He's a poof.
Now,
he's
I
a
have
puffer.
To say,
he's a fag.
This
smokes a fag.
This was so blown the fuck out of proportion, in my opinion.
Really? I just think it's cool, and I just think she should have just written it down in text, though. Why did she have to tell people if... Why couldn't she have made it more clear? I haven't finished the book, so I am literally about 60% through the book. I've been reading... I had to read the Eat, Pray, Love. Had to read the Middlesex, so now I'm finishing my Harry Potter. I kind of heard this and I was like, oh no, is that telling me something? But then I realized it's not, because the little kid just... But I love From the Mouth of Babes. Does he ever find love?
Aww.
Or whatever they said, you know? Yeah, or does he ever ever find, you know?
But here's the problem. Here's the problem that I'm starting to see with these gay buzzwords, which I love so much seeing in the media.
Mm-hmm.
That as soon as you say one... As soon as you drop the word gay, as soon as it falls from somebody's lips, the media... really vilifies it in this horrible, horrible way.
What do you mean?
He's gay.
Well, it definitely became like an E! News right. story, and it was on...
But I mean, just that this is breaking news.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying.
This is breaking... This is at the top of... This is... People are digging this all of... dig is... I have to explain for you. This dig is a thing where you can... I like the story, so I'm going to dig it, and then other people dig it, and then whatever the popular stories that dig sort of bubble up. This is getting...
You mean online?
Dig craziness. This is hitting the blogosphere like mad. Like, and I'm like, are you serious? People... there's still people dying in Iraq. There's still people getting shot.
Yeah.
You know, Planet in Peril is on CNN right now as we're talking. And this is important shit. And we're fucking worried about Dumbledore being gay.
Yeah. But so, how cool is it that like the greatest man, the greatest sorcerer in all of children's literature right now. And, you know, and the character most admired, most revered. I don't want to say too much in case you haven't read books 5 and 6 or... but you know that he's a gay man.
It is,
and
cool.
I think that's extremely fantastic and a fantastic role model. And I guarantee you, as we see like Advocate and Outs 100 Gay People of the Year, Dumbledore will be one of them. I am guaranteeing you that, you know, the gay media is going to pick up with this.
I think that's bad. Person of the Year, a fictional character.
Oh, I don't think he'll be a person of the year. I just think that they'll say, you know, he's one of the characters that came out this year, or a gay person.
Well, he
in
didn't
the media.
Come out.
Well, the character didn't come out.
He didn't come out.
The character was outed.
This is the but that whole act. I mean, even her doing it that way and the media spin on it. See, I think this is a really negative story because of the way that the press is treating it. So it's just fascinating though to see how instantly the conservatives pick up on that shit and they get
ultra conservatives aren't letting their kids read Harry Potter anyhow and think it's satanic. Mm-hmm.
They thought like the Chronicles of Narnia were too, and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
but
blah,
they
blah,
think
and,
that this is really because they're sorcerer and they're witches and they're you know, whatever. But I'm kind of glad that Dumbledore is gay. And I want to know if that means that Professor McGonagall is a lesbian. That's what I want to think.
It just means that Larry Craig liked
Dame
Dumbledore.
Maggie Smith is a
Maggie
lesbian.
Maggie Smith is not a lesbian.
Or maybe, you know, there's so many fabulous characters. I would take any of those women. They could be lesbians.
No.
McGonagall seems the most relevant.
All the movies, they look like they smell bad because it was set like in the Dark Ages.
No,
you know, it looks like they didn't.
No, they aren't.
It looks like all those things, like even Conan. Like I have to say, I know you love the Xena, but every time I watch it, I was like, they must have such horrible crotch rot in that
time
period.
I'm sure they do.
Because you didn't wash a lot. Soap wasn't really the common.
Yeah.
I mean, they eventually did wash each other and scrub each other's bits
and
pieces.
Take baths. But, you take hot baths with one another. Pour the water. The servants pour the water in the tub like Rome. Come
after
on.
After you like slaughter a bunch of soldiers, you got blood on you and you stink.
Yeah. Hey, can I tell you, Lucy Lawless is pretty damn funny on Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's one of my favorite things I've seen her do in a long time, and it's probably running. You can still TiVo it. I don't ever watch it, but I don't watch it. I can't stand it either, but she's quite funny on it and looks good. So
I have gotten the Dirty Sexy Money.
Oh, good.
I have.
Good.
You know what I'm trying to do now? You know the twin, the boy?
The twin, boy?
The boy twin. I want his hair.
Do you?
Yeah. And I know that's so not my style.
I don't think he's very cute, but...
I think he's fucking hot.
Okay, good.
He's
See,
beautiful.
That's why he's
there. Got the body I want. He's got the hair I want.
He is who you want to be.
I don't think... No, I don't want to be him because I don't want to ever be that rich, because obviously you can see why. He's too rich. But he's a really hot actor. I want to meet him. Can we have him on the program?
Okay, we'll work on that.
Okay.
I'll try to get him here for you.
How about I just try and get him? Make your childhood fantasy come true. Childhood fantasy?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to connect it. Having sex with myself? What? I'm trying to connect it with children.
Hey,
you know what? On our show today, it's very interesting.
This is the serious part of the show.
We're going to have Deborah Chasnoff on with us today, who is the director of It's Elementary. This is a DVD that if you are too young, you don't remember it, or maybe you do because maybe it was shown in your schools. If you're older, you may remember because it was groundbreaking and won a lot of attention.
Controversy.
But 10 years later, we are looking back at It's Still Elementary. This is a DVD that was created by Deborah, where she went around and went into elementary schools talking to kids about homosexuality and gay and lesbian people.
In the early 90s, in the mid 90s,
and across the U.S. And it's very, very fascinating as we look back at 10 years ago and where it is today as it's being reissued on DVD, along with a companion piece called It's Still Elementary, a documentary about the process and what the making of It's Elementary was like, and looking back at the kids, it's just who are now in college, who are in elementary school. Really fascinating interview.
And to let people know, this isn't like an IFC channel. This isn't sort of an independent film. This is actually an instructional aid. It is used by teachers to teach tolerance and to teach kids that it's okay that some kids may have two daddies or two mommies.
And it was shown on public television stations nationwide, created a huge controversy.
Much protest, yes.
Yeah. So really, really fascinating interview and a look back over the past decade with Deborah Chasnoff. Plus, we have lots of news today. Tell you what's going on in the theater scene. There's so much great theater going on. Much I can tell you about. We'll talk about it in the upcoming shows and much, much more. So stay tuned with us.
1963. Picture four guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. Four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right, I need you, baby.
The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 22nd, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Innovation, sensuality, and creativity will be on display as Complexions Contemporary Ballet takes the stage at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University for two nights only, November 10th and 11th. Tickets to Complexions Contemporary Ballet are available through Ticketmaster and at the Auditorium box office.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz's Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to Fiction, call 773-871-3000 or visit RemyBumpo, that's 2ps.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalijah Sun, a touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor and compassion why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times calls it marvelous. No Child is playing now. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit Looking GlassTheater.org.
Critics and audiences love Forbidden Broadway, the fall down funny smash hit musical at the Royal George Theater. The Chicago Tribune raves it's the funniest, fastest 90 minutes in Chicago. Forbidden Broadway playing now through January 13th. For tickets, call 312-988-9000 or go to Ticketmaster.com.
About Face Theater presents Wedding Play, a world premiere written and directed by Eric Rosen. Set in the world of Chicago theater, Wedding Play blends mystery, comedy, and might just be a confession to murder. Playing now, calling 312 312- 435-1650 or visit steppenwolf.org for tickets.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
Writers Theater presents the world premiere of Eben Smith's The Savannah Disputation. Time Out Chicago raves it's a sneak attack of religious interrogation disguised as an episode of The Golden Girls. For tickets to The Savannah Disputation at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, just visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts completely out of the question.
Watch out now.
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, nudie boy. Because we all know when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist college activity.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Despite the nation's anti-gay don't ask, don't tell policy, the armed forces have been placing job advertisements on the gay social network website Glee.com. A spokesman for the Army National Guard said he was not aware of the advertisements. The Navy just pulled 8,000 ads from the site, but the Marines say only civilian jobs, which don't ask, don't tell, doesn't apply, were advertised.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed yet another gay marriage bill brought to his desk. Schwarzenegger announced that he feels voters and the state Supreme Court should decide on same-sex marriage. However, the governor has recently signed four GLBT-positive bills into law.
Following the recent resignation of the HRC's only transgender board member, another member of HRC has now resigned. Grant Luckenbill recently resigned from the HRC Foundation Business Council. Luckenbill wrote to President Joe Solomonese, "If I've learned anything working with HRC, it's how much the world of politics requires a stomach for compromise. How true that is, but good politics requires good compromise if goals are to be met."
A more limited lawsuit brought by the father of a slain Marine soldier whose funeral was picketed by the notoriously anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church was given the go-ahead to go to trial by a Baltimore federal judge. Two of five counts against the church were dropped by the judge, such as the charge that the soldier was defamed by the church, implying he was gay and raised by adulterers. The father, Albert Snyder, said he filed suit because he doesn't want other families of soldiers to have their funeral services picketed.
Gay-friendly Miller Brewing Company announced a merger with Coors Brewing Company, a company that had been boycotted by the GLBT community since 1974. In recent years, Coors has become more involved with the GLBT community in an attempt to repair its anti-gay reputation. The merger will create Miller Coors and will not be finalized until mid-2008.
A 15-year-old Florida boy faces felony charges for allegedly beating a classmate after a fellow student told him the victim was gay. He has been arrested on charges of aggravated battery.
A South Carolina mother is calling for the passage of hate crime legislation following news of reduced charges against the man accused of murdering her gay son. The state does not have hate crime legislation. The man, who allegedly caused her son's death during a confrontation outside a local bar, was first charged with murder, but now the charge has been reduced to involuntary manslaughter.
Living La Vida Loca singer Ricky Martin was presented with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The Latin crooner, sporting a faux hawk, which is so metro these days, was surrounded by his screaming fans.
Ellen DeGeneres had an emotional breakdown on an episode of her show last week. The talk show host adopted a dog, Iggy. But when it didn't get along with her cats, she gave the pooch to her hairdresser. After 2 weeks, the adoption agency discovered the dog was no longer with DeGeneres, and the agency took the puppy away from the new family. DeGeneres, between huge sobs, begged the agency on air to return the puppy, though the puppy was already placed in a new home.
Would that she had such
Oh, what's
deep
going on
problems.
With her?
Ian McKellen took an opportunity to poke fun of Singapore's gay sex ban during a recent appearance on one of the country's talk shows. Quote, at the end of the interview, they asked what I was looking forward to doing while I was in Singapore, he said. And I looked at the man who was clearly straight and said, can you recommend any decent gay bars? Which would be illegal in every possible way.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
When the documentary film It's Elementary hit public television in 1997, it sparked a loud dialogue about talking to elementary kids about the bias against gay and lesbian people. 10 years later, we have an opportunity to look back over the past decade of change, growth, and resistance with the director of It's Elementary, Deborah Chasnoff. It's just after the documentary release of It's Still Elementary, and what a fascinating look back it is. It's not just a look back from video to DVD. So, how are you, Deborah?
I'm great.
Tell us what the impetus was for creating It's Elementary.
Well, it was the early 90s, and it was really a combination of things that were happening both politically on a big scale in this country and personally to me. At the time, there were folks running for president on the Republican National campaign. Party, Pat Robertson and Patrick Buchanan, mm-hmm. who were basically running on a campaign that said what's wrong with America is homosexuals. And, you know, the homophobia that was allowed in the public sphere was just, like, virulent and intense. And at the same time, my son was about 4 years old, and I was anticipating him entering public school where he would start to hear a lot of anti-gay name-calling, and that suddenly he would be confronted with the fact that he was hearing things about the people in his life that he loved the most, his two moms, characterized in a very negative way. Those two things came together, and I decided that I wanted to make a documentary film that really challenged the prevailing cultural belief that we can't talk to kids about gay people and that schools should be silent when it comes to discussion of anti-gay prejudice.
Well, and since that was the norm, how did you get into the schools and talk with the kids and talk with openly gay and lesbian teachers?
Well, actually, in the film, most of the teachers are actually straight. That wasn't really that they weren't necessarily gay at all. What was really unique was that we scoured the country and found teachers in six different schools, four of them public and two of them private, who were finding ways to incorporate discussion about lesbian and gay people into their elementary and middle school lessons, doing it in an age-appropriate way. And our challenge was to get permission to be able to go into the classroom and film those lessons and to be flies on the wall, essentially, to capture on camera what happens when a third grade teacher, for example, walks into a room and says, boys and girls, today we're going to talk about lesbians and gay men. It was very hard to find the schools and even harder to get permission to be able to film in them.
Yeah, I imagine the administration probably had some pretty strict policies on what the kids can do. Did you have to interact with parents as well, or was it purely with the administrators of those institutions?
Well, to make any kind of film where you're filming children, you need to have the permission of parents and guardians. So everybody, we had to have a permission slip signed for every child that we focused our camera on. And that was a bit of a challenge. There were definitely some parents who withheld permission, but they were in the minority. It was really remarkable, actually, how many parents did get permission to allow us to film the lesson.
And as you began filming, what sort of surprised you the most? Because, you know, I kind of was in the school system at that point. I was in high school. But I remember it was very, my experience in Chicago was things were very polarized. It was either very for everything going on or, no, we're not going to discuss that at all. That's next topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, remember, we were filming in, we were literally in second, third, fourth grade classes. The oldest group of kids that we went up to was eighth grade. And we were like any other adult. We had absolutely no idea, well, what is going to happen when the teacher starts bringing up this topic. But over and over and over again, we were amazed with two things. One was how interested the students were. They all wanted to talk about this topic, no matter what their age was. And two, that they were so thoughtful about the issue and really had a lot to say. They really were incredibly articulate and surprised us with the amount of information they already had, whether it was at age 6 or age 11, about LGBT people. They and I think adults really underestimate. There's this naivete that somehow if we don't talk about it in school, that somehow it's going to, that kids are going to be shielded from any awareness about lesbian and gay people. But this was back in the early 90s, and the kids already knew a lot. A lot of it was completely inaccurate and misinformed, but it was a topic they had some ideas about. And today, I think that would be even more so.
Well, it's really interesting because in watching the new documentary, it's still elementary. It's so fascinating to see those kids now in college and to see them 10 years later. Talk about, you know, where we have come. Some of those statistics are obviously it's still elementary DVD of where we've come in those 10 years and what changes have happened that really manifest in the physical kids that you have being interviewed and how they view the world and gay and lesbian people.
Well, it's really two different things, I think. Oh, the first is that we were really struck. We were able to locate 6 of the students who happened to be in some of the classrooms where we originally filmed. And we went back and found them today. And without exception, every single one of them was clearly profoundly affected by the experience of having a teacher talk to them when they were in their formative years about lesbian and gay people, and it's affected the rest of their lives, their attitudes and their values and their willingness to confront prejudice when it comes up. And for the one young man we found who happened to turn out to be gay himself, it was profound to have a teacher in fifth grade talk about gays in a very matter-of-fact way. It really eased the way for his coming out process. In terms of your other question, what's changed? It's a very different world in some ways, and in some ways it isn't. The most remarkable statistic to me is that when we started making It's Elementary, there were literally 2 gay-straight alliances in high schools in the United States. Today there are over 3,700. That's a remarkable change at the high school level. So I think where we're seeing the most change is in high schools, is that there at least is more discussion. It's in some communities, it's easier for a teenager to be openly gay or lesbian. Where I feel like we've seen less change is still at the elementary school level. I think it's still really taboo in most school communities to acknowledge that lesbian and gay people are in our communities, are in our families. And I think there's still a tremendous amount of work that still needs to be done.
Well, in the city of Chicago, features in well in the It's Still Elementary with an old friend of ours in our radio days, Mary Morton, who at the time was the mayor's liaison to the gay and lesbian community when this documentary It's Elementary was coming out, and she, along with Billie Jean King, another pioneer here in our community and in our neck of the woods, so to speak, really started championing this film, this video at the time, and really saying it is necessary that it get into the public school system, that it be something that our teachers get to see so they know how to have a dialogue about this, that our students get to see. You know, what did that, what kind of difference did that make having this city, and at that time period, I know too, the green light really got passed in Chicago because of the murder of Matthew Shepard and the attention that was getting in 1998, right after. So can you talk a little bit about Chicago and Matthew Shepard and how those two things kind of set a trend of how the video could be used?
Yeah, well, I think Chicago, the Chicago Public Schools is one school system in the United States that has seen the most extensive distribution of its elementary. Because of Mary's work and the work of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network and other community activists, we were able to get the film distributed to every school in the Chicago Public School System. And what that means is that most of the staff in the Chicago Public Schools had seen the film or saw the film at the time and hopefully had a discussion about what they were going to do in their individual school sites to address homophobia. I know that as a result of that widespread distribution, close to 10,000 teachers in Illinois have seen the film and had a discussion about homophobia and been encouraged to address it when it comes up in their classrooms or to find creative ways to address it. And that experience has been replicated all over the United States in many dozens, more than dozens, hundreds of school systems, and in many schools of education at the university level. So I think the film has been part of a larger and growing national safe schools movement. And it's pretty likely now that if you are a young educator coming up through the system to be trained, that you will have some course at some point in your training that talks about homophobia and talks about how it affects your students and calls upon you to think about, well, how are you going to address it? And that's a really positive change.
It really is. And I mean, we think once again, at the beginning of the interview, you were talking about the political climate in 1993 mm-hmm. when you were gathering yeah. ideas and just starting the groundwork before the film came out. And one of the parts that really I found very powerful, because you just do... Living in Chicago and being 2007, you have selective amnesia, I do, of your editor talking about in 1995 that this was the time abortion clinics were getting bombed and mm-hmm. how we kept moving our reels and our film, you know, around so it was never in the building and we had copies in case you were bombed. You know, talk about, I mean, can you even imagine working in that kind of, I mean, it's almost like you're working in a war zone climate in 1995.
Well, it was, and I hate to say it. I mean, I feel like there are some times today that I still feel that way.
Yeah.
But at that time, it was scary. I mean, I think, you know, people, the internet wasn't used as much, so you would get letters, you would get packages in the mail, you would get disturbing phone calls. Mm-hmm. I say you, I mean mm-hmm. we, when we were editing this film, because what happened was that every conservative right-wing organization in this country put out huge direct mail appeals urging their members to stop the production of this film, stop the distribution of it. When it was offered to public television, they tried to censor the broadcast. They raised millions of dollars mm-hmm. off of our film, It's Elementary. And the hatred... The violent hatred that got directed at us because we were making this film was a little unnerving. And we did. We did every night. We made sure to back up what we were editing and get it out of the office because there was a part of us that was fearful that something would, you know, happen to the physical space that we were working in.
But obviously that loud... dialogue, that loud controversy, all of the clips that you show from CNN to The View to
everybody
talking mm-hmm. about it on all the major mm-hmm. news channels obviously gave weight to the necessity for this type of film to be shown and be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really
well,
think that
it,
Idaho
it
is
did.
An example.
I mean, I think, yeah, I think, you know, when we had this goal, when we started to make this film, we had two goals with the film and the distribution of the film, because at Groundspark, the organization that I head up that distributes the film, we had two goals. And one was to inspire people, no matter where they live, to figure out what's their next step to take to ensure that their school community was addressing homophobia. And the second goal was to really change the cultural climate and to really challenge this right-wing dominance over the way that this issue was handled and addressed. We really wanted to challenge this idea that it was just an assumption then. You can't talk to kids about gay issues or gay people. It's just, you cannot do that. And we really challenged that. So that's what we were trying to do.
And even today, it's still the dialogue. I mean, we just had the candidate roundup talking about education in schools,
right?
With the children
on Logo, so still, and the Democratic presidential candidates, right?
Mm-hmm. That's so right. And you know, what are they talking about? We've got three Democratic front runners all saying, "Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind it if my kids read a book in school about a family that has two moms."
Yeah. Right.
That's remarkable. That's truly remarkable. We've got the vice president. I just saw an interview with Lynn Cheney talking about, you know, her daughter, the lesbian. You know, we've got the vice president's daughter is a lesbian and has a child. And, you know, are they going to stop the discussion of lesbian-headed families in school? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's definitely true. We'll talk about how this new DVD, the companion DVD, it's still elementary. Mm-hmm. How is that being presented now? And I know there's some companion pieces going along with it for educators.
Yeah, well, we are, after 10 years in distribution, we're finally re-releasing It's Elementary on DVD. It will be available later this fall. So on the DVD is the original documentary, the full-length 80-minute version, and then there's a shorter version that we call our educational training version that's been used in countless school settings to facilitate dialogue among faculty members, for example. And then it also has our new documentary, It's Still Elementary, which is the retrospective we've been talking about. And there's also things like a new credible curriculum guide about how to address gay issues in school and how to use this film to help you, and some other things, a deleted scene or two. And everything's in Spanish and English.
Wow, what an amazing thing. Well, how can people get the films and get the pieces in case they want to take it into their school system or see it or have it for their families?
Information about how to order the DVD is on our website, which is www.groundspark.org.
And what are you working on now? What's making you passionate now? Your child is how old? 15, 17?
Well, my oldest son is now 19.
19, yeah.
And my youngest son is 13, and I'm actually, it's so funny, for the last 12 years, my oldest son has, what he's been going through has inspired me to make films, and then I try to get them done in time for my youngest son to benefit from.
You've got bookend motivation right there.
Yeah,
bookend motivation.
Mom's guide to life.
My oldest son, you know, finished high school a year ago, and I started working on a film then for high school students.
Uh-huh.
And I hope it will be done by the time that my youngest son starts high school this fall. But we're working on a film that's part of the Respect for All project series, which It's Elementary is part of. And it's for high school students, and it looks at the pressures that teenagers face to act or behave a certain way because of their gender. And the goal of this film, it's called Straight Laced, and the goal of it is to open up dialogue among teenagers about how anti-gay prejudice and prejudice against women creates very strong gender expectations that are really limiting to everyone.
Yeah, and isn't that the new topic of the day? You know, I feel in some ways that you were right on the wave of talking about sexuality, and now it seems to be gender is the big is the big conversation. So it's very fascinating and exciting that you are lending your voice and perspective to that with your documentary work. Deborah Chasnoff is the director of It's Elementary, and It's Still Elementary. If you want more on the films, visit groundspark.org. And we want to thank you for being with us. Congrats on 10 years.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks for listening to another When You See a Queer Cast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And and American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.